Job 38. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Prepare to defend yourself. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set, or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy." And from chapter 42, starting with verse 1. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.' My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes."
Where were you? Boy, it's a question that we've all asked and have been asked at times in our life. Where were you? Every parent has asked that of a teenager when they said they'd be home at 10 o'clock and it's 11:15 and they walk in the door and it's, "Where were you?" And some of us have been asked that when we walk into the house and there's overcooked vegetables on the table and a roast that's turning cool and it's, "Where were you? Dinner's ready an hour ago." Your boss asks it of you. You show up late for work. "Where were you?" Your friend who's been waiting at school because you said you were going to pick them up right as soon as school was done and it's 15 minutes late. Where were you? And it certainly is a question that we've not only been asked, but we have asked. We've asked God that question, haven't we? Where were you, God? Where were you when the plane struck the Twin Towers? Where were you, God, when millions of your people were killed in the Holocaust? And where were you when Christians are killed in India or in Pakistan or other places? Where were you, God, when your spouse died and it suddenly and unexpectedly in an accident or something else? Where were you, God, when we got the word that a cancer had recurred and it spread? God, you could have stopped this. You could have done something. You could have prevented it. You could have cured it. Where were you, God? We're familiar with that question. But what happens when the tables get turned? What if you throw that question out to God? Where were you, God, when my body was racked with all those boils? And I don't know why. Where were you, God, when my children were killed and my possessions were all destroyed? And then God turns around and says to Job and to us, and so where were you? That's the question we're looking at this morning. When God turns the tables on us and asks us, where were you? It's still a very uncomfortable question. Maybe you feel uncomfortable asking God, but it's really uncomfortable when God turns it around and asks you. And it's no wonder that that question comes out of the middle of a storm. This is not the kind of question that you expect to come out of with a still, small voice like Elijah heard. This is appropriately a question from a storm. It's a question that God asks of us. God asks of his people. When we think that we have a right to question God, like Job and his friends were doing. But it's also a question what God asks us whenever we get too big for our britches. And boy, isn't that happen fairly often. A common sin that we're all prone to. Thinking more of ourselves than we ought to because we've got it figured out. We know all the questions. We know all the answers. And then God says, and where were you? You ever sense the storm drawing a little bit closer? And maybe God is going to ask you that question. You recall the story of Job, I'm sure. A good man, put through incredible testing, losing all of his wealth, losing his family, losing his health. And those who should be the closest to him, his wife and his friends, proved to be nothing but, as he calls them, miserable comforters. Most of the book of Job is the story of the interaction of Job and his friends. They say something, he responds. Another one says something, Job responds. And all the way through it, these words of the friends do nothing but to increase Job's confusion of what is going on here. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And in fact, these words of the friends end up strengthening his resolve. I'm going to get this figured. I don't deserve this. Job gets pretty strong about that. Chapter 31, verses 35 to 37, he says, "Oh, that I had someone to hear me. I sign now my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser put his indictment in writing. Surely I would wear it on my shoulder. I would put it on like a crown. I would give him an account of my every step. I would present it to him as a ruler. If God would come out and do that, I could say, I'll lay it all out. I'm sure I don't deserve what's going on." And he goes on. He stirs up these words of the friends, stir up anger in Job. He's angry with them and he's angry with God. Listen to what he says in Job 27, verse 2. He says, "As surely as God lives, who has denied me justice, the Almighty, who has made my life bitter." I think Job's a little bit angry. Doesn't sound real at ease and at peace. And it goes on in chapter 30. He puts it this way. "I cry out to you, God, but you do not answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me. You turn on me ruthlessly. With the might of your hand, you attack me. You snatch me up and drive me before the wind. You toss me about in the storm. I know you will bring me down to death, to the place appointed for all the living." Wow. That's Job. He's angry. And let me just interject. If you get angry with God, that's okay. God can take it. God listens and hears Job's anger too. After all, God created us to be emotional creatures, not just robots who just do, broom, broom, and go walk through life stoically. He understands. Don't stuff your hurts. But remember this, that maybe you are at a point in something in your life right now where you are feeling like Job and you are angry at your friends, but you're also angry at God. And you can bring that anger and that frustration to God, but then just be ready. Be ready for God to turn the question. And as you say, "Where were you, God?" be ready for God to ask you, "And where were you?" And so I can imagine Job at the end of chapter 37, after his last friend has just spoken, and he's still filled with that storm of emotions. Elihu, the last of the friends, the young one who waited for the other three to finish their part before he finally spoke. And there's a lot of what Elihu says that makes an awful lot of sense. But you know what it is? It's a beautifully wonderful intellectual analysis of Job's situation. And the conclusion of everything that Elihu has to say is that God is perfectly wise. And so you still must have deserved what happened to you. This is the way he ends at the end of chapter 37. "The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. Therefore, people revere him, for he does not have regard for does he not have regard for all the wise in heart?" If you were wise, God is perfectly just, then everything would be different. It's still all back on you. And Job still is not convinced. And then he looks and he sees out in the distance a storm, a whirlwind coming across the desert. And he hears the voice of God directly. The God who speaks of mystery, of returning to his place and saying to Job, go to where you belong. You are creatures. You are not the creator. Where, and it all sums up this simple question, where were you? And in chapters 38 through 41, God speaks. And he starts with that question, verse 4, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? You tell me if you understand. And he talks about, in the first part of chapter 38, the mystery of creation, one that we still haven't solved. We come up with all kinds of theories, all kinds of ideas, but it still comes down and says, and who was there? Where were you when all this came into being? And then he goes on and talks about some of the mystery of what I would call providence, of the way in which the world works. He talks about the weather. He talks about rain and snow and all those kinds of things. He talks about the stars, the way the constellations are in the sky. And he says, how can you? You can't control those. You don't turn them around and stir them up and mess them around. And then he enters in chapter, the end of 38 and on through chapter 39, the world of the animals. And he gives us some interesting pictures of the things that we don't know about even the animal world. Now, we know a lot more than they did in Job's day. We know how long the gestation period is for a wild deer or whatever. And he asks some of those questions. But there's still an awful lot that we don't know. There's even that sense of God's sense of you. Why in the world would God create something as weird as an ostrich? And as dumb as an ostrich? And we'll get to that in just a little bit. And then God, after God says to him at the beginning of chapter 40, okay now, so what do you think of what you heard so far? And he says, I've really blown it. And God says, okay, let me listen. I'm not done yet. I got more to say. And he goes on and he reasserts the fact that he is a God of justice. And again, puts Job and us in our place. He says to Job, now if you can do all the stuff that I have done, if you have the power that I have and you can do it all, well, then you can answer it and figure it all out. But until then, remember, where were you? And then finally, you come to that interesting section in chapters 40, the last part of 40 and 41, about Behemoth and Leviathan. We still don't know for sure what those creatures are. Was it a hippopotamus and a crocodile? Was it a dinosaur and a dragon? We don't know. Either way, I wouldn't want to get into a cage with either one of them. But listen this morning to God speak. Because I want you and me to hear what God says and to ask ourselves this question. Where were you? I'm not going to read the whole of the speech of God, but a chunk of it. And just sit back and listen to this paraphrase. So why do you confuse the issue? Why do you talk without knowing what you're talking about? Pull yourself together, Job. Up on your feet. Stand tall. I have some questions for you, and I want some straight answers. Where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much. Who decided on its size? Certainly you'll know that. Who came up with the blueprints and measurements? You know what? We've learned about how everything in the universe is just perfectly put together. Just the right distance, just the right size. It's all so it works. How was its foundation poured? Who set the cornerstone while the morning stars sang in chorus and all the angels shouted in praise? And who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb? That was me. I wrapped it in soft clouds and tucked it in safely at night. Then I made a playpen for it, a strong playpen so it couldn't run loose, and said, stay here. This is your place. Your wild tantrums are confined to this place. And have you ever ordered morning, get up, told the dawn, get to work, so you can seize earth like a blanket and shake out the wicked like the cockroaches? As the sun brings everything to light, brings out all the colors and shapes. The cover of darkness is snatched from the wicked. They're caught in their very act. He goes on and he talks more about the deeps of the oceans. He talks about light and darkness. Have you ever traveled to where snow is made? Seen the vault where hail is stockpiled? The arsenals of hail and snow that I keep in readiness for times of trouble and battle and war? Can you find your way to where lightning is launched? To the place from where the wind blows? Can you catch the eye of the beautiful Pleiades sisters? Or distract Orion from his hunt? Can you get Venus to look your way? Get the great bear and her cubs to climb out and play? Do you know the first thing about the sky's constellations? How they affect things on Earth? Who do you think gave weather wisdom to the ibis? Storm savvy to the rooster? Does anyone know enough to number all the clouds? Tip over the rain barrels of heaven when the earth is cracked and dry? The ground baked hard as a brick? Do you know the month when the mountain lion goats give birth? Have you ever watched a doe bear her fawn? Do you know how many months she's pregnant? Do you know the season of her delivery when she crouches down and drops her offspring? Will the wild buffalo condescend to serve you? Volunteer to spend the night in your barn? Can you imagine hitching your plow to a buffalo, getting him to till your fields? He's hugely strong, yes, but could you trust him? Would you dare to turn the job over to him? You wouldn't for a minute depend on him, would you, to do what you said when you said it? The ostrich flaps her wings futilely. All those beautiful feathers, but useless. You ever seen an ostrich fly? She lays her eggs on the hard ground, leaves them there in the dirt, exposed to the weather, not caring that they might get stepped on and cracked or trampled by some wild animal. She's negligent with her young as if they weren't even hers. She cares nothing about anything. She wasn't created very smart, that's for sure. She wasn't given her share of good sense. But when she runs, how she runs, laughing, leaving horse and rider in the dust. Was it through your know-how that the hawk learned to fly, soaring effortlessly on thermal updrafts? Did you command the eagle's flight and teach her to build her nest in the heights, perfectly at home on the high cliff face, invulnerable on pinnacle and crag? That's some of what God says. It all comes down to, and where were you? So God says to Job, now what do you have to say for yourself? Are you going to haul me, the mighty one, into court and press charges? And Job answered, I'm speechless, in awe. Words fail me. I should never have opened my mouth. I've talked too much, way too much. I'm ready to shut up and listen. And God addresses Job some more. He says, okay, you're on the way. But I have some more questions for you, and I want some straight answers. Do you presume to tell me what I'm doing wrong? Are you calling me a sinner so you can be a saint? Do you have an arm like my arm? Can you shout in thunder the way I can? You go ahead, show your stuff. Let's see what you're made of, what you can do. Unleash your outrage. Target the arrogant and lay them flat. Target the arrogant and bring them to their knees. Stop the wicked in their tracks. Make mincemeat of them. Dig a mass grave and dump them in it. Faceless corpses in an unmarked grave. I'll gladly step aside and hand things over to you. You can surely save yourself with no help from me. And then he goes on and describes the land beast, Behemoth. I created him as well as you. Grazing on grass, docile as a cow. But just look at the strength of his back and the powerful muscles of his belly. His tail sways like a cedar in the wind. His huge legs are like beech trees. You'd never want him for a pet. You'd never be able to housebreak him. Or can you pull in the sea beast, Leviathan, with a fly rod? Stuff him in your creel. Can you lasso him with a rope? snag him with an anchor? Will you play with him as if he were a pet goldfish? Will you make him the mascot of the neighborhood children? And he describes some of the things about him. His enormous bulk, his beautiful shape, tough skin, hide, the thickest and toughest of hide. He snorts and the world lights up with fire. Javelins bounce harmlessly off his hide. Harpoons ricochet wildly. Iron bars are so much straw to him. Bronze weapons beneath notice. Arrows don't even make him blink. Bullets make no impression, no more impression than raindrops. A battle axe is nothing but a splinter of kindling. He treats a brandished harpoon as a joke. His belly is armor-plated, inexorable, unstoppable as a barge. He rolls deep ocean the way you'd boil water. He whips the sea like you'd whip an egg into batter. With a luminous tail stretching out behind him, you might think ocean had grown a gray beard. There's nothing on this earth quite like him. Not an ounce of fear in that creature. He surveys all the high and mighty. King of the ocean. King of the deep. Where were you? Where was I? You know, for all of my God-given abilities, and I thank God for the way He created human beings and created you and me, but I am not God, nor are you. Oh, I thank God for what He has made me and who I am. I thank God for the grace that has been reached out to me, restoring me to a place in God's family in spite of my sin when I don't deserve any of it. I thank God that God accepts my outbursts when I get angry and frustrated with what's going on and frustrated with God, and He accepts that. And I thank God that He understands and puts up with me in my apathetic indifference when God puts His demands on my life and I act as if God isn't anywhere there. I'm going to do my own thing and I want to do it my way and I'm going to get what I want and I don't care without anybody else and I don't care about God. And God still doesn't throw me aside. Frankly, there's a lot of times that I need to stand in front of the storm. And maybe you do too. Maybe there's a lot of times when you need to hear God speak and say, remind you, where were you? And then I need to be at that point and come to that point that Job came to. And I need to say, just as he did, therefore I despise myself and I repent in dust and ashes. There's a lot of different translations for this. What I like is, and therefore I will be quiet, comforted that I am dust. Job despises his ways, not himself, but he despises what he has said. And he knows that God has created him from the dust and the ashes, just as the rest of creation. And God has showed the same care to Job that He has showed to Behemoth and Leviathan and the wild buffalo and in the birds and the hawks and the eagles and all of those other things. Job admits, my complaint was misinformed. God, You weren't absent. You were there in my troubles. And You care. And You come to me. And so let's change the question. Just a little bit. Not the question, where were you? But let's change it to, where are you? We still ask it of God when we come in frustration and pain. Where are you, God? You know that poem that has become very common and very familiar, the poem about the footprints on the sand. Now, two people are walking along with God and a person walking along, and then all of a sudden there's only trouble comes and there's only one set of footprints. And the question is, where were you, God? Where are you? How come you left me? And the answer comes, I was carrying you. That's kind of simple in some ways, but you know, it's certainly true. Where are you, God, when I'm in trouble? God says, I'm right there. I am with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always to the very end of the age. I will give you another comforter who will be with you forever. After all, if God came to our world at a huge price, when Jesus came to this world and died and suffered and did all of that for your good and for mine, God is not going to throw it all away and say, oh, well, I blew it. I changed my mind. Where are you, God? Right there. But God is also asking us the question today, and where are you? Having seen the storm, and having heard the voice of God, are you really ready for Thanksgiving Day? Are you really ready then to say, where am I? I am here where I can say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Where are you? Are you on your face? I think of John, as it's described in the book of Revelation, when he sees that vision of God, and sees the vision of Jesus, and it says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. When you meet God, where are you? On your face? In abject humility? Where are you? Are you on your feet? On your feet in praise to the great God. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Where?